ahead and get started. It is Tuesday, February 19, 2019, at 7 o'clock p.m., and we are meeting in the Super Coast Community Center. We are going to start with a pledge given by Joseph Wilding, and then the invitation will be given by Councilmember Anderson.
Would everybody please stand and make a pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and God is with you. Thanks very much. Father, I'm grateful for this evening that we have to come together and discuss the business of Cedar Hills. Thankful for this lovely community in which we live and the opportunity that we have to serve here. I'm grateful for our residents and for their involvement in our city and how much they care about what happens here. We are grateful for this free country that we live in and ask that thy blessings be upon the leaders of this country and also of our state and our city, that wise choices will be made for the benefit of all. And we pray that we will have good conversation tonight and open thought and things we pray for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to item number two is approval of the meeting agenda. So let's make that motion.
I'll make a motion that we keep the agenda as is.
Great. Motion by Councilmember Geddes. Is there a second?
Second
by Councilmember Ellsworth. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? How many of you have read the public comment?
I can.
I don't have that sheet. Is there anybody here tonight who wants to speak in the public comment portion of the meeting? Okay, go ahead and close that portion of the meeting and move on to the consent agenda, which is an approval of the minutes from the January 8th and January 22nd, 2019 professional city council meetings, and also appointing Kelly Smith to the founding festival citizen advisory committee. Does someone else speak to that motion? Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Anderson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is unanimous. We'll move on to 6 and 7, which is city commission business. So, move to the room.
I only have two things to report. One is, if you're concerned or interested in the new east-west corridor through Highland, referred to as the Highland Connector, there is a public hearing at Fox Hollow Golf Course on February 21st from 5 to 7. It should be interesting to give some feedback. And then we do have our annual Emergency Management Expo coming up next month here in this building, in this room, on March 18th. Come learn more about what you can do and your families can be doing to be prepared for an emergency. So we look forward to that event as well. That's all I have. Thank you.
Councilmember Geddes.
Is that February 21st, like this Thursday?
Yes.
Okay. At what time?
5 to 7.
Nothing here.
Councilmember Anderson?
Yeah, so I attended my Central Utah 911 meeting on Thursday, and the budget for fiscal year 2020, an interesting thing that came up was they have a fund balance, a high fund balance in Central Utah 911, and it's been suggested that they disperse that fund balance throughout all the cities that use Central Utah 911 according to population and give us a one-time dispersion. So it's on the table. I think it's going to be approved next meeting, but we'll see. So that would be exciting if we were able to get that. And then the other thing we did is I passed out to everybody. They gave us the fiscal year 2020 budget, and in that they had the documentation of all the calls, 911 calls that came from every city in the district, and I did the percentages between cities and their population and how many calls they put in the year 2018, and we were the lowest. So good job, Cedar Hills. So I put the percentages off to the side. I thought that was fun. So Cedar Hills, Alpine, and Highland were in the top five lowest 911 calls. So I don't know what that means. I just thought it was interesting.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. As far as my updates, just two from the legislative session that we are watching right now. And I did not bring them with me, but the first one is on affordable housing. That is going to be discussed tomorrow in committee. And I don't know if all of you received the email from ULCT, but they're asking us to reach out to the committee members, letting them know that we do support the bill in its current draft, which is a third substitution, which provides a variety of ways that cities can meet that affordable housing requirement and offers a financial incentive through the TIF funding to do so. They do believe that there will be some pushback from some groups that are wanting, instead of the incentive of penalty to cities of a reduction for not getting any of their Class C road funds, which of course ULCT and all cities are opposed to. So if you get a chance to email the committee, just let them know that we are in support of that, that bills are currently seized in the third substitution and do not support the penalties being assessed. And then the other one is the bill on pressurized irrigation metering. Senator Andreg is pushing that one through. They have updated it this last go around. That provides a bit more grant money and extends the deadline to 2039 instead of 2030. I did send them an email because one of the things that they're discussing is exempting any city that's in a county of the third to sixth class. So it only applies to counties of the first and second class. And my response to him was, number one, what goal is he trying to accomplish? And does only requiring this in counties of the first and second class actually meet that goal? Secondly, that's not counties that are going to be paying for it, it's cities. So I'm not sure why the distinction between counties, because it would be hard for us to justify to our residents that we have to do this and incur the cost when Tooele and Heber don't, simply because they're in a county of the third class, even though they're larger cities with higher budgets. So once I hear back from Senator Underwood, I'll let you know how that goes, but we will continue with that one as well. And then the last thing is the Forest Service monthly meeting happened, and they expressed some concern about potential flooding with the snow that we have, so they're doing some cleanup work in the canyon, and we'll continue to monitor that situation as well. Councilmember Ellsworth?
Nothing at this time.
Councilmember Miller?
Nothing.
Okay, we'll go ahead and close the reports and move on to our scheduled items. The first one being a review action on ordinance raising the minimum legal age, sales age of tobacco products to 21. We will start with a presentation by Mr. Goodwin and White.
As you know, as we were discussed in the previous council meeting we had this month, February 5th, the City of Cedar Hills was approached by a group of regular resources, Tobacco 21, our advocacy group locally, going from municipality to municipality, encouraging them to adopt ordinances that would allow, that would prohibit purchasing tobacco products after the age of 21. And Lehigh became the first city in the state, I believe, to pass this last Tuesday, 9/12. So we took Lehigh's code that they passed and made some modifications where we felt like maybe their code fell short a little bit or maybe didn't address things that we were concerned about. And we wanted to present that to you tonight, and that's what you have in the packet. And there's been a number of reviews that have happened both on staff's end and as well as the advocacy groups. And I appreciate the feedback that they've taken the time on their President's Day holidays to give us that feedback, this is important. So I feel like we have enough information here to have a very fruitful discussion on this proposed ordinance and its implications for Cedar Hills and the youth of Cedar Hills especially. I think that's the biggest concern here, is where the health and safety risks to the community at large. So if you want to look at that code, I know we went over this in work session, but I'm going to go through it again in the audience. The ordinance starts out with a number of whereases, and it outlines the current situation as it relates to underage smoking and smoking in general when you start smoking, and why this ordinance itself is pertinent and important and needed. However, in under the whereases, there's a number of them starting with A, and the last one, N, a proposed change, right now it reads the city's purpose in raising the minimum legal standard, minimum legal smoking age to 21 is to reduce tobacco use by keeping tobacco products out of the hands of those under the age of 21. We're not, that is not what we're doing tonight. It's really only regulating the point of sale of tobacco products. So I'd rather that the city's purpose in raising the minimum legal age to purchase tobacco products is to reduce tobacco use by keeping tobacco products out of the hands of those in the age of 21. And then as we go into the code itself, under 4-3-2 definitions, I have some heartburn with some of these definitions, and so I wanted to clarify them and maybe get some feedback from the council. And if anyone from Tobacco 21 feels strongly compelled to come to the mic, they are more than welcome to give their feedback as well. But I do have some heartburn about the definition of distribute and distribution, because the way that we're our intention of drafting this code is to not criminalize what I referred to in the work session as a social cigarette, meaning a 21-year-old hands a 19-year-old a cigarette. That's not what we're trying to criminalize or penalize in any way. It's really the point of sale when that transaction occurs at the retail. So the current definition you have in your packet says means furnish, give, provide, or attempt to do so, whether gratuitously or for any type of consideration. I wanted to change that to say means to sell, barter, exchange, or attempt to do so for any type of consideration, compensation. I feel like the furnish, give, provide opens that door too wide. I wasn't comfortable with that. As someone feels opposed to that, I'm welcome into that discussion. Second, on distributor, it currently reads means a tobacco retailer who sells a tobacco product. I wanted to change that to means a licensed tobacco retailer who sells a tobacco product. And then under tobacco product, the definition of tobacco product, it currently reads a cigar, cigarette, or electronic cigarette. You want to add electronic smoking device as well to that. And then there's state code references, which I've checked out in there. The correct references, and so we wanted to just rely on the state code and what their definitions are for tobacco products. I feel like they've done a good job of defining those and giving the broad scope. And under 4-3-4, age verification, I would propose that it says before distributing any tobacco product, and wherever it references a distributor in this section of code, it should replace that to say tobacco retailer, to be very specific that it's not the person on outside of the building smoking with
So do you know if that's necessary when it's defined as distributor up here to already say tobacco retailer who sells a tobacco product?
Yeah, this is where I say it's oscillating between striking distributor completely from the code today to doing what we're proposing right now. I was just saying, to be very clear, just say tobacco retailer.
A little bit of redundancy is okay.
Code is full. And then under the enforcement, this is another area where I think that there may be some room for discussion. It currently, under enforcement, the city itself, we don't enforce this at all. We don't go do compliance checks. As you're well aware, we contract with the American Fork Police Department, and they're able to go do compliance checks as well as the Utah County Health Department to go do compliance checks. So, right now, the code, as it's written, says the Utah County Health Department or any authorized designee or law enforcement official may conduct random, unannounced inspections. The Tobacco 21 group would like to see that say shall. And my personal opinion of that is that it really doesn't change it. I mean, we can change it, but it's not the city that's enforcing that. So if it doesn't happen, I was a penalty. If those compliance checks don't occur, then what then? That's why I say may shall. It may not be an issue, but currently we spoke with the American Fork Police Department and they do compliance checks quarterly, approximately. So they are being done, so it's not a huge concern, it's just a matter of procedure.
And just to clarify, they didn't have any issue changing the word
no,
shall.
And they don't either. So that's a simple change. It's just not something, I just want to be very clear that it's not something that the city enforces. And then to the last word there, it says, this is minors, and we want to clarify that to say persons under 21 to be very specific. Under 4-3-7, the penalties, the Tobacco 21 group recommended striking Section A, which gave some criminal charges to those that sell tobacco to individuals under 21. And speaking with the American Fork Police Department, if that were to be struck from the record or from the ordinance, then really enforcement really falls completely on the Utah County Health Department and leaves them out of it. So we're saying we would like to see that left in. And it does give the American Fork Police Department some leeway. It does say may be cited, not shall be cited. So the example I gave, if somebody is an hour on the job and just genuinely didn't know. There's somebody who tried to be sneaky and sell to their friends. And there's two different situations there. And then B.
So in work session, Greg clarified to me, I asked the question whether what the penalty was for a class A, which is the third offense and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
It was
$2,500 for class A.
$2,500 fine, up to $2,500 fine. So it gets pretty harsh.
It does. But if it's your third offense.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
And then under B, it says a civil penalty may be imposed by local health departments against, and then it says the owner of the store would like to see that once again, say, tobacco retailer as follows. And then under those violations, it does give a time frame of when those violations, multiple violations occur within a certain amount of time, then it's not considered your second violation, it's considered your third violation, depending on when the person met. So as we, those timelines, the 12 months, a second violation within 12 months, a third violation within 24 months, and the fourth violation within 24 months, those are according to state code, so we'd like to see those still near state code as much as we can, as much as we feel necessary.
So I have a question on that. Section B, that time period doesn't apply to Section A, though, right? Are those two?
No, that's a civil penalty. That's a civil penalty.
Okay,
yes.
So there's no time limit on the Section A.
So that B would be the Utah County Health Department's enforcement of the rules.
Okay.
And then Section C, it says the department or local health department may, and then one, is revoke, and it says a tobacco permit, I'd like to say a change to tobacco retail permit, because that is the actual limit that's issued to those retailers. And then under three, Section C3, it says an applicable recommended municipality or county that retail tobacco specialty business license issued under Section 10-8-4.6 be suspended or revoked. There's some question about the phrase retail tobacco specialty business. We do define that in city code already. It's also defined in that state control reference as well. And then the final change, really the article change, it says Lehigh City, and it's a little bit out of the side of our jurisdiction, so I'm going to change the city. So with that being said, we do have people here in the audience from Tobacco 21. I appreciate Mark Larson, who was so kind of generous to give his thoughts and statements in the work session. What questions can I answer from the staff's perspective at this point?
Yeah, I have a question.
More
session, but I'd like
to bring it in. I've work session, so
I think you've done a good job of kind of consolidating it into a reasonable ordinance.
I want to thank the, we've had a number of people have eyes on this ordinance, whether it was staff, AFPD, mayor, council, and representatives from various organizations here tonight. So I think it's gone through many revisions and feedback. I honestly think this is the best one that we've had so far. And as I said in the work session, I think that as this movement gets a little bit of momentum, you're going to see the code that the cities adopt find a little bit better, maybe clarify some of the issues that we brought up tonight in a better way. Cities, we are really, really good at plagiarizing each other's work. So as a lead hire, it's something to argue. But so as cities start to adopt this, I think you're going to see a more refined code that comes out in the end. So this may be something that we want to revisit in, you know, 6 months to a year. Saying, hey, where's our market stack of other ordinances that municipalities have adopted since that time?
Great.
Hopefully, the goal is to keep the tobacco use down amongst younger people. So that's what the whole goal looks like.
Mark, would you mind giving me a 15 minutes?
Thank you, Council. My name is Mark Watterson. With the American Heart Association. Really appreciate the time that Chandler and the mayor and council have been able to deliberate this and considering this important ordinance. I know that there are a number of individuals here and I want to be pretty combined to them. But something that, that Council Member Geddes has mentioned, really the aim here is trying to curb the usage of tobacco products in our community. Recently, the Centers for the CDC Centers for Disease Control Prevention, founded between 2011 and 2015, that e-cigarette use among high school students increased by 900%. To give you a little bit of perspective, nationwide, that's 1 in 5 high school students who are currently using these tobacco products. From the latest data that we have here in Utah County, that's 1 in 10 in every high school student here. To give you some perspective, when it comes to traditional cigarettes, it's 1 in every 15 students. So we absolutely see this, as does the head of the FDA, and certainly general, as an epidemic among our youth. I really appreciate the work of the council considering this ordinance and what they can do to try and curb that usage. Thank you.
Any questions from Mark?
I'd just like to real quick just say thank you so much for your organization's effort.
It took an army to try and work on this, and I'm sure you'll hear from a few others tonight. But really, it was the willpower and the motivation of the council that made this possible. So thank you, council.
Is there anyone else here tonight that wanted to speak on this ordinance? Please, just go ahead and start with
Renee. Brooke Carlisle, I'm the Government Relations Director with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. So obviously here to speak in support of the proposed ordinance. I will try not to repeat anything that Mark said, but I do think there are just some statistics that are worth mentioning and reiterating. I mean, obviously the goal of this ordinance is to reduce youth smoking and reduce smoking rates. So just some numbers I think are worth sharing. According to the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, there will be an estimated 480,000 tobacco-related deaths in the United States this year. Tobacco-related health care will cost the U.S. $170 billion, while costing $542 million in direct medical expense to the state of Utah. We know from studies that about 95% of smokers do start before they are 18, before they're 21, and a lot of those kids become regular daily smokers between 18 and 21. So the longer you can keep tobacco out of the hands of youth, the less and less likely they will ever pick it up or ever become a daily smoker. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of the American Cancer Society for taking up this ordinance. We obviously think it is the right thing to do, so thank you.
My name is Deanne Kettering, and I am with PTA, Utah PTA, and the PTA has been working with Tobacco Free One as well, to because we care about our kids and we're worried about our kids. And one of the statistics that I want to share with you is 2% of retail sales are being sold to 19 and 20-year-olds, but yet 90% of the tobacco products that youth get come from that age of 18. It's because it's their friends and or older brothers or older siblings, and there's just a significant decrease when they raise the age in different areas and states throughout the country. When the age is raised, the decrease in youth use has significant. So we really support this as well as PTA.
Thank you.
Garrett Harding. I work at Huntsman Cancer Institute at the University of Utah. We know that 30% of all cancer deaths in the state of Utah are caused by tobacco use. We know it's the number one cause of preventable death in the United States and in Utah as well. And we're really committed to a tobacco-free future. And so anything that will support that tobacco-free future, like this ordinance, we are not only in support of, but we wholeheartedly acknowledge and, you know, and basically express our gratitude to the cities of Lehigh, but also to the cities of, you know, Cedar Hills for even, you know, considering this ordinance. And with that, you know, I will also say that I speak on behalf of the Utah Tobacco Free Alliance, which includes, you know, many of the representatives here. So thank you.
Thank you.
I have a great question. I'm old enough to remember, like, 8 years ago when they raised the taxes substantially on tobacco. There's considerable debate whether that had any impact at all. It was a big government overstepping. I'm really interested if any of you have any data. What was the impact? Because, once again, we're taking a step on this, you know, what has it done in the past? What did that big tax increase on tobacco do to tobacco use here in Utah? I'm curious.
I can start, and then I might have better data than I do. It is well documented, not only in the state of Utah, but across the country, every time the tobacco tax is raised, especially if that increases by a dollar or more, the smoking rate significantly declines. I do not have numbers in front of me, but if you look at graphs over time of the smoking rate, every time the tobacco tax increases, there is a drastic drop in that smoking rate. I will say that decline decreases over time as people kind of become accustomed to that new price of a pack of cigarettes. So to keep that impact lasting, it is very important to keep raising the price of cigarettes. But yeah, there are years and years of data to show that those tax increases do drop smoking rates drastically. Perfect, I'm just gonna read this. Thank you. So in July of 2010, Utah enacted its existing cigarette tax, which is $1.70 per pack, for a pack of 20 cigarettes. Prior to that change, the tax on cigarettes was 69.5 cents per pack. When the additional dollar tax went into effect, the Utah quit line experienced a 42% call increase for cessation information. So clearly, as that tax went into effect, more people were looking for help and quitting. So thank you.
Anyone else?
So I also want to express my appreciation to everyone who's been helping me with this ordinance. As I mentioned, it was a few months ago that I attended a meeting at the Utah County Health Department with some of the other mayors, and it was the statistics that they provided to us were staggering. I had heard that, especially in the instance of electronic cigarettes, have been increasing across the country, but the number, I think this surprises all the number in Utah County. I think sometimes we feel we're a little insulated from that, and we really aren't. And it was also eye-opening to find out that as cities we had the authority to enact an ordinance such as this. We didn't realize that we did. So it's been great working with Mayor Johnson and some of the other mayors throughout Utah County who are interested in pursuing this. We appreciate everyone from the Tobacco 21 group that took the time to review our ordinance and provide feedback. Outrage, I mean, we've been here a few times to express what this means from especially the youth perspective and the impact it can have. So we appreciate that you came to the time for that. And we recognize as a city and as a council that in our circumstance, we're a smaller city, and so it doesn't have maybe the same impact that Lehigh does. But we also recognize that our commercial zone is right across the street from Lehigh High School. And there is a problem with this at Lehigh High School. And so what we can do on our end to help mitigate and reduce the number of youth who have access to this is important to us.
I would add that even though we are a small city, we can be a part of the forefront of this progression to where we need to be protect our community, protect our youth. I can think of maybe two tobacco retailers in our city. We're pretty small, but if other cities see that we're doing it, that Lehigh did it, and others are doing it, then hopefully we can pick up more momentum and steam and potentially look at statewide regulation, not only for possession, but for, not only for distribution retailers, but also for possession and use. I try to take a good look anytime we're passing a regulation that steps on someone's liberty to choose something. But when it's the number one cause of preventable death and it affects us all, that is a community interest. That is a government interest. And I think this is one of the things where it is appropriate for us to step in, and I fully support this measure.
Councilor Monroe, I know that you were here when we discussed this in work session, but I would also encourage the council to reach out to representatives on this House Bill 324. Mark mentioned this a little bit, that there is an effort at the state level to implement a statewide increase to 21. However, at the same time, that, and Mark, feel free to chime in if I'm saying this incorrectly, but at the same time, this particular bill is working with the tobacco industry to take some control away from cities to regulate tobacco specialty stores, possibly even locations such as parks. And so while we want the state to follow along with this and raising the age, we do not want the state to take away our control to regulate how the tobacco products are handled in our city. We already have banned tobacco specialty retail centers for shops from being property in our city at all, and we do not want state legislature taking that away from us.
I just want to say thank you, too, for all the work that you've done in the background to make this happen, make us aware of this. And my only regret in this entire thing is that we weren't the first city. We'll be the second, and that would be okay.
Anything else?
I agree with what's been said. So.
Okay.
Can I add one thing?
Yes, please.
For discussion. The ordinance has to go into effect at some point. And I don't believe it's fair to mark enacted so that it goes into effect immediately. I think you have to give retailers the appropriate heads up so that they can get the necessary signage and also train their employees. I know that we only have two tobacco retailers in our community. One of them though is fairly large, we need to train a workforce. So I want to have a discussion about the actual effective date.
So my recommendation to Chandler, we spoke about this, was 60 days. I know Lehigh did 20. I don't know if that gives Walmart quite enough time to get the education training that they need to for their employees. My recommendation is 60.
My inclination was some either 60 or 90. I think that that will allow them to produce that good science and train their workforce and kind of give some heads up. You know, obviously it'd be their own prerogative whether they want to kind of let people know in that meantime, hey, just a heads up, this is going to be changing. But I think 60 days would be sufficient.
When the signage needs to correspond with what we say this is, and so maybe this is to take that sign needs to be up to 60
days?
60 days is fine.
Let me interject.
Oh, sorry.
Mark just whispered, Mayor, that you can have an implementation date and an effective date, so basically implementation date and so the implementation date is today. Is that what you're saying?
It could be a number of days,
and then the effective date could be 60 days, and then during that time, he's saying that there could be that this grace period where they could slap on the wrist of her too much. But he was saying that. So I just think that to be fair to our retailers, we have to give them the appropriate notice.
So I think you could still do the implementation date of today, but the effective date is 60 days. Mm-hmm. And that gives the understanding that you prefer to do this sooner rather than later. But you have up until 60 days.
I like that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So effective immediately, but we won't really.
Implementation meeting.
No, you can say the ordinance shall take the implemented on passage and take effect. Will take effect 60 days.
It's full.
All right, so I need a motion, and I guess, Chama, did you write all the changes down so that you can just say as previously discussed? Okay, so I just need a motion.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we adopt ordinance number 0219-2019A, adopting Title 4, Chapter 3 to the Cedar Hill City Code, prohibiting the sale of tobacco products to persons under the age of 21 and subject to the changes and conditions discussed with Jim today in our meeting.
Thank you. I have a motion by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Councilmember Anderson. Roll call vote. Councilmember Miller?
Aye. Sorry, this is like, Chandler. Was this with 60 days?
Effective immediately, but full implementation.
Yes.
Okay, Councilmember Miller?
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth?
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey?
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson?
Aye.
Councilmember Gittes?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We move on to our final item, which is a review action on amendments to the Cedar County Subdivision Agreement.
All right. As we discussed in a few meetings ago, there is a group that is working with the Cedar Hills Farmland LLC to purchase the development rights to the Cedar Canyon subdivision. Part of that is that they need to have the assignment of the settlement agreement, the development agreement made to them. And it's
it's partially assigned because eventually when the plat is imported, the commercial portion of that subdivision will be transferred back to Cedar Hills Farmland. So the resolution that was passed out of work session with the changes that we went over in work session, we're asking for the council to pass this resolution allowing for the mayor to authorize that assignment of the development agreement and settlement agreement with two changes to the CCNRs for that H1, that individual homes, the developer there shall or has the discretion to upgrade that vinyl fence that's around the perimeter of the property to a concrete foam core type fence at their discretion. I think we'll put them on that. And then changing the interior fencing on the back and the rear setbacks to allow for closed closed fencing. They would still be open fencing on the front setbacks, so they could have some privacy there. And we do have a representative from David Lee Holmes, and Scott is in that. David Lee Holmes, please say hi.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. I just wanted to take a quick minute. Excuse me, my name is Cameron Scott. I'm the Land and Acquisition Manager for David Lee Holmes. And just wanted to say thank you for the opportunity to be a developer. Builder in the community. Everyone loves Cedar Hills, a beautiful community. We're excited to be a part of that, to help create a neighborhood for the neighborhood to add to the community. We realize that the location of this project is at the entrance, one of the entrances to your city, and we don't take that lightly. We want to be good neighbors, we want to follow the design guidelines, bring in good architecture, and build good homes. For this, we're here for we're taking the long view. We're here for the long run in this market. So we feel that the neighborhoods that we build are a reflection of us and our reputation. Not 5, not 10, but 20 plus years down the road. You see, if you go to some of our other subdivisions, you'll see the quality. We're anxious to build something that we can be proud of and sake. Proud of ourselves. To say thank you. It's also been wonderful working with Chandler and staff. They've been very professional and responsive.
Thank you. We are looking forward to having you here.
We're excited about it. We're planning to close mid March and we're going to start soon.
Thank you.
Just a quick question. What do you think your build out is? What are you projecting?
In terms of
full build out, what do you think?
Full build out. Probably about 18 months. We anticipate that the majority of the rest will be well received in the market, the lot sizes and the price point to hit that demand. So about 18.
Thank you.
Anything else you need to add on resolution? Any questions from the council? No, I will take a motion.
The only changes
in the fences. In the CCR, the only changes that were authorized tonight are the changes to the fencing. Yes.
Okay. So I will make a motion that we adopt resolution number 02-19-2019, amending settlement and development agreements for Cedar Plains subdivision, subject to the changes regarding the fence and all of the CCNRs regarding the fence, etc.
Motion by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Councilmember Geddes. Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Geddes.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. That is the final item, so I will make a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Motion by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Bailey. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned.